Our reading this morning is in 1 Samuel chapter 14. So if you want to open your copy of the Word there, then stand for the reading of God's Word. We're going to start in verse 1. I'll start in just a moment. Starting in verse 1, it says, "One day, Jonathan, the son of Saul, said to the young man who carried his armor, 'Come, let us go over to the Philistine garrison on the other side.' But he did not tell his father. Saul was staying in the outskirts of Gibeah in the pomegranate cave at Migron. The people who were with him were about 600 men, including Ahijah, the son of Ahitub, Ichabod's brother, son of Phinehas, son of Eli, the priest of the Lord in Shiloh, wearing an ephod. And the people did not know that Jonathan had gone. Within the passes by which Jonathan sought to go over to the Philistine garrison, there was a rocky crag on the one side and a rocky crag on the other side. The name of the one was Bozez, and the name of the other Sina. The one crag rose on the north in front of Michmash, and the other on the south in front of Geba. Jonathan said to the young man who carried his armor, 'Come, let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for nothing can hinder the Lord from saving by many or by few.' And his armor bearer said to him, 'Do all that is in your heart. Do as you wish. Behold, I am with you heart and soul.' Then Jonathan said, 'Behold, we will cross over to the men, and we will show ourselves to them. If they say to us, "Wait until we come to you," then we will stand still in our place, and we will not go up to them. But if they say, "Come up to us," then we will go up, for the Lord has given them into our hand, and this shall be the sign to us." So both of them showed themselves to the garrison of the Philistines. And the Philistines said, "Look, Hebrews are coming out of the holes where they have hidden themselves." And the men of the garrison hailed to Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, "Come up to us and we will show you a thing." And Jonathan said to his armor bearer, "Come up after me, for the Lord has given them into the hand of Israel." Then Jonathan climbed up on his hands and feet and his armor bearer after him. And they fell before Jonathan and his armor bearer, killed them after him. And that first strike which Jonathan and his armor bearer made killed about 20 men within, as it were, half a furrow's length in an acre of land. And there was a panic in the camp, in the field, and among all the people. The garrison and even the raiders trembled, and the earth quaked, and it became a great panic. And the watchmen of Saul and Gibeah of Benjamin looked, and behold, the multitude was dispersing here and there. Then Saul said to the people who were with him, "Count and see who has gone from us." And when they had counted, behold, Jonathan and his armor bearer were not there. So Saul said to Ahijah, "Bring the ark of God here." For the ark of God went at the time with the people of Israel. Now Saul was talking to the priest. The tumult in the camp of the Philistines increased more and more. So Saul said to the priest, "Withdraw your hand." Then Saul and all the people who were with him rallied and went into battle. And behold, every Philistine sword was turned against his fellow, and there was very great confusion. Now the Hebrews who had been with the Philistines before that time and who had gone up with them into the camp, even they also turned to be with the Israelites who were with Saul and Jonathan. Likewise, when all the men of Israel who had hidden themselves in the hill country of Ephraim heard that the Philistines were fleeing, they too followed hard after them in battle. So the Lord saved Israel that day, and the battle passed beyond Beth-Aven. This is the word of the Lord.
Amen. You can go ahead and be seated. Thank you all for being here today. Man, there's been a great week of prayer and fasting. We have sought the kingdom of God. We talked about this week, and many of you have heard from him. There's been different things the Lord has spoken to you. Some of them were huge. Some of them were small. They've all been movements that the Lord is asking you to make. I want to encourage you. I would even ask you and invite you. My email address is kyle@lifept.org, kyle@lifept.org. I'd love to hear a little bit about what the Lord spoke to you and said, "Hey, this is what the Lord's doing in my life and in my family." I've heard little bits and pieces, and it's so encouraging when we can hear what the Lord is doing. We're jumping back into a series right now that we've been in. This is week 16, all right? Week 16 of this series in 1 Samuel. We've been seeking the kingdom, and we're studying about the kingdom of God, the kingdom come on earth. His earthly kingdom, to be real honest with you, from the Old Testament, how he raised up Samuel to anoint the very first king, King Saul, and how the wheels came off in chapter 13. I don't have time to go back and look at chapter 13 with you, but you can go back on our website and find the media player there, excuse me, and you can be able to look at it. So I'd encourage you to do that. Here we are at the beginning, though, of chapter 14, and King Saul, who is still the king right now, he is in Migron, the scripture tells us, and he's sitting at a cave. We don't know if he's in it, in front of it, but he's sitting at a cave, and that cave is called the Pomegranate Cave. Must have been popular for the pomegranate trees or something, but he's there. He's got 600 men with him, and a part of that, you have the priest from Shiloh, who was wearing an ephod, the scripture says, and that ephod was supposed to be, it represents the 12 tribes, and it's supposed to be a wisdom thing, where it helps him to understand and discern the will of the Lord. In fact, the scripture even says, as you read down through there, you heard Eli, that the Ark of the Covenant was there. And they're not even supposed to have the Ark of the Covenant with them in battle like this. But the Ark of the Covenant is there, and here he is. The scripture also tells us at the very beginning that his son, Jonathan, is there with his young man, the armor bearer. And he looks at the armor bearer and he says, hey, we're going to go over here and we're going to go attack the Philistines. Now, at the beginning of chapter 13, there's like multiple thousands. In fact, the scripture says there were more troops than like it looked like the sands on the seashore. So here's Saul with 600. And now then, Jonathan, his son, without telling Daddy King, to his armor bearer, and says, hey, you and I, we're going to go do this. We're going to make this happen. Now, I'm going to tell you, that's huge. That is huge. Today, the title of the message is called Bold Faith. And before we get there, I want to say this. The Lord spoke to you this week, and you were on a mountaintop. When the Lord speaks, it feels like a mountaintop. You were probably struggling at some point, like myself, as withholding some things, good things, so that we can go after the greatest one, the gift giver. But the Lord spoke to you. He's revealed something to you. And I want to say to you, here we are at the start of a new week. Maybe even you felt like, oh my goodness, Thursday was tough. Can I tell you that when Monday is going to be even tougher probably? It's going to take bold faith that what you heard the Lord God say, what he pointed to you, you now have to walk in that. This is what the day is all about. This is what we're going to talk about, is bold faith. And I want to give you some statements about what bold faith looks like according to this passage. I think there's some principles that we can see. The first one is this: bold faith does. Bold faith does. Now, you realize that means that bold faith is active. Bold faith is about doing something. Look with me at verse 6. Verse 6 here is the key verse in this entire passage. Notice what he says here. Jonathan said to the young man who carried his armor, come, let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for nothing can hinder the Lord from saving by many or by few. He says, listen, the Lord God can save us. He can save with 600 or he can save with 2. You and I, we're going to get up and we're going to go. We're going to do something. I'm not certain. I'm going to give a little bit of my holy imagination. He's probably thinking, we're not going to be daddy sitting back at the cave. We need to be moving. He's speaking about covenant language here. He's using this word circumcision. Really, he uses the word uncircumcised. That's covenant language. You see, when God called Abraham, when he was on the backside of the desert as a pagan worshiper, he said, Abraham, I want you to go to a land I'm going to show you, and I want to make your seed, your offspring, numerous as the sand, numerous as the stars of the sky, and through them, I'm going to covenant with you based on who I am, and your name and your nations that come from you, they will be a blessing to the world. You see, when God chose Israel, I want you to hear this, when he chose Israel, he didn't choose them to be just a holy huddle. He didn't choose them to be the frozen chosen. He chose them to be the light to the nations, all the nations. They turned inward. Any church, any denomination, anyone that rejects the word of the Lord, what the Lord says, and they turn inward, will eventually die. The Lord Israel's not died. You know why? Because he's their chosen people. He has saved them. He has hold them. But I want you to hear this. As God's covenant people today, you and I, those of us who have surrendered our life to him, do you realize that we have been grafted into Israel? We no longer do this by fleshly cuts on our body or by letter of the law. We do it because our heart has been circumcised. Our heart has been cut. Just as Ezekiel said, there's going to be one who will come who will remove a heart of stone and put a heart of flesh into you that beats for my name. That beats for my name. Today, if you have surrendered and submitted your life to Christ, did you know that Paul tells us in Romans chapter 2 that you're a true Jew, that you're a true Israel? You're not ethnic Israel. You've been grafted in, he says in the book of Romans. You've been grafted in. And no more is it cuts of the flesh, and no more is it letter of the law. It's that your heart now beats for him because the Holy Spirit of God lives in you. I believe what Jonathan is saying here in this passage is this, is that I'm moving out and I'm asking you, armor bearer. Listen, the word armor bearer, that name is 9 times in this passage. That's a pretty important person in this passage. Anything that's repeated, you want to take notice of. And he says, listen, I'm asking you to go with us and I need you to hear that you and I, whether by many or by few, the Lord can win this. What he's basically saying here is this, is that, hey, you, me, and God, we're going to ambush them. This is a trick play. They're not going to be expecting this. You realize Ecclesiastes chapter 4, I believe it's verse 12, says this, that a cord of 3 strands is not easily broken. I'm going to tell you that you and another covenant believer and the Lord can accomplish more than all of us together. If the Lord has called you, and you've got a brother or a sister that's in it with you, and the Father is with you, I want you to hear me. That's a strong team right there. That is a strong team. And the Lord, and Jonathan here is saying, listen, come with me. That these uncircumcised, these covenant people, these people who aren't part of the covenant, they're making fun of us, and Dad's at the cave cracking a pomegranate, eating the seeds, and you and I are going to go do battle. Let's go. Let's go. See, that's what bold faith does. Bold faith says, I'm going to move for the glory of God. What God has called me to, I'm just going to be crazy enough to believe him. And if he says it in his word, and I sense it in my spirit, I'm going to go. Now, some of you may be thinking, now, could that be reckless? Is this guy, Jonathan, he says, wait a minute, we're going to go out and we're going to show ourselves. And if they call to us and say, come on up here, we'll go. If they don't call to us and say, wait, then we won't go. Isn't that kind of like Gideon and the fleece? Yeah, it is. I'll be real honest with you. You know why that's in the passage? I had somebody come out at one of the other services and say, so should I? Like, if I'm driving home, literally, if I'm driving home and I'm at a stoplight and there's a Taco Bell over there, and if it's a red light, that means I shouldn't go to Taco Bell. If it is a green light, I should go to Taco Bell. So no. It doesn't work that way. In the Old Testament, listen, they didn't have the Holy Spirit alive in them. Today, we have the Holy Spirit of God alive in us, and we have his written word. And so when we read his word and we sense an impression of the Holy Spirit, some of these things you run by the godly counsel of other, wise counsel, the church, your prayer. Now then we move. Here's what Jonathan says. Hey, listen, we're going to go and we're going to go down this mountain. I think this is a really interesting point here. The mountainside that the Israelites were on, because there was a mountain here and a mountain here and a valley. The Israelites, it says, they were on the side of the mountain called Sena. Sena in Hebrew means thorns, thorny, thistles. He said, we're going to crawl down through the thorns and the thistles. We're going to get to the valley and we're going to show ourselves. And if they say, hey, wait, that's a sign of the Lord that we're not going to go. But if they say, come on up, we're going to go up their mountainside. Their mountainside was called Bozez. Bozez in Hebrew means slippery. We're going to crawl up and we're going to go at it. It says that they did. They got down there and they showed themselves and they waved out. Hey, here we are. And the scripture says that the Philistines looked out and said, hey, look, they're all coming out of their holes. The caves they've been in. like Saul at Pomegranate, they're coming out of their holes. And they looked at them, the Philistines, and said, literally, this is what this means. This isn't like Kyle version. This is like, hey, come on up. We got a thing or two we're going to show you. And Prince Johnny said, it's on. Let's go. This means the Lord is for us. And bold faith takes action. Bold faith takes action. They weren't presuming on the Lord. If they call us, then we'll go. That'll be the Lord's sign. If he doesn't call us, that's not our action. He gave room. He says, listen, the Lord, maybe the Lord will work. So many of us, we sit around. We're going to have, let's have another prayer meeting. Can I tell you, if the Lord's word says it and you have prayed about it and you sense it, then there's, you don't need to have another prayer meeting. You need to move. You need to go. You need to get out there. You need to keep walking. If you're praying in your quiet time and you're saying, Lord God, I've got old Joe down here. Lord, I want you to save him. And if the Lord intersects your life with him, did you realize that's the Lord's word for you to go ahead and speak the word to him? If you have been praying, Lord, make me a witness, and you sit down at lunch and someone opens up a spiritual door, you don't have to pray and say, Lord, is this it? That's it. That's it. So you know what bold faith does? It walks through the door. Walks through the door. Today, some of you, it's going to take bold faith for you to walk through the door that he has revealed to you this past week. For some of you, you've been praying about something longer than the past week, and you know, you don't need another prayer. You need to act. Bold faith does. It does. You know, these two young men, just to be real honest with you, who are up here and saying, listen, I'm going to leave my job, I'm going to leave my work. I'm leaving my school. In fact, I'm taking my school with me. I'm going to put myself on a completely different 7 hours ahead. I'm going to put myself on a different time frame so I can go for the glory of God. That's bold faith. That's bold faith. Stepping up here to get in the baptistry to say, look, first off, I need Jesus. That's bold faith. To get in the baptistry. You know, some of you in here today, in your bold faith, you need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. You need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Why do I need to do that? I'm already saved. My soul is secure. Austin just said the water doesn't save me. Well, the reason you need to do it is because Jesus said. So you need to be obedient. Not to me, but to the word of God. It takes bold faith. Here's the second thing quickly that you see. What does it look like? Bold faith does. Bold faith also commits. Bold faith makes a commitment. Makes a commitment to the kingdom. Makes a commitment to others. Look at verse 7. Verse 7 says, and his armor bearer, there it is again, said to him, do all that is in your heart. Do as you wish. Behold, I am with you, heart and soul. Jonathan acted. He was committed to the kingdom for the glory of God. He was going to go after and do a battle where daddy's sitting at home. I don't know what he's doing, but he's sitting at home being passive. Jonathan said, nope, I'm going to reject passivity. I'm going to reject the comfort of the cave, and I'm going forward. And you know what that did, I believe? I believe that caused the armor bearer to look at him and go, yeah, I'm in with you. Because I'm going to commit to you, Jonathan, because you've committed to the Lord. Some of you may go, did he even have a choice? Well, I want to say this. An armor bearer was more than just a slave and a servant, much more. An armor bearer carried all the utensils and the implements of war. Carried a shield. He carried the swords. He carried the spear. He was like a bodyguard. And in this passage, in chapter 13, it says in chapter 13 that nobody in all the armies of Israel had any swords except for Jonathan and Saul. Everyone else had sickles and axes and hoes. That's it. So he's carrying everything that he has, and he says, I'm with you. Listen, if you believe this is where the Lord God's called you because of your faith and your action, because I believe in you, I'm going with you. I'm in it. In fact, he says, heart and soul, whatever it is the Lord has put on your heart, you do as you wish. I'm with you, heart and soul. That phrase right there, heart and soul, means this. It means, if you turn, there I am. literally, in the Hebrew, if you turn, there I am. Those of you who have served in the military, you've heard the phrase, I've got your six. That's what this is. I'm with you, heart and soul. I have to stop right here for a moment. Do you have any relationship like that? You know, in our world today, men, as the older you get, statistically, the older you get, the amount of men friends that you have, I don't mean fans, I don't mean followers. I'm talking about your men friends. Did you realize it goes from, it just keeps getting shorter and smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller? Men, let me ask you this. Do you have anybody in your life that says, I'm with you, I'm in it? That if you turn, they're there with you. I'm going to ask you this also. You know, most of us, we always want to be the Jonathan, but you know that you're an armor bearer to someone else? Is there anyone that you said, listen, that man right there, that's a faithful man. I'm jumping in with them. Do you know that you need to be a faithful man? Because there's somebody looking at you and going, because of that man's faith, I'm jumping in. Ladies, do you have any ladies in your life that tell you something other than, oh, you look beautiful. I like that. Heart, 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 Instagram. Do you have any ladies in your life that love you enough that say, I'm with you heart and soul, that they'll get in a cat fight alongside you and they'll cat fight with you for the kingdom of God? Do you have anybody like that? You see, bold faith makes a commitment to the kingdom and it makes a commitment to others. This is what the armor bearer was doing. The armor bearer was saying, listen, I'm for you. I'm going with you. If you're going up, I'm going up. If you're going up, I'm going up. Look at what Proverbs says. Proverbs 18:24 says, there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. There's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Guys, ladies, you got somebody like that? You got someone that's closer than a brother? You call me. I'm there. Some of you this week, the Lord has spoken to you. Some of you in the last several weeks, the Lord has spoken to you, and he's revealed areas of your life. A good illustration of this would be like maybe some sort of addiction. Could be food, could be sex, could be porn, could be gambling, which is wreaking havoc among men specifically and young men specifically. It could be any number of things. But did you realize that addiction counselors tell us that the way most men and women walk out of addiction is that they have somebody that they can call at the drop of a hat anytime, any day, anywhere, and they know that person's going to pick the phone up. Because when they're in a battle, they've got to have somebody that's with them heart and soul. This says, you turn, I'm there. You turn, I'm there. Notice what Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17 says. It says this. It says that a friend loves at all time and a brother is born for adversity. If you're in a difficult day right now, if you're walking in a difficult time, if you're ready to take a bold step, because bold faith does, you better have a friend that says, I got you. I got you. I'm with you. If you've ever been at your lowest and you've looked around and you found typically is one or two people standing by you, that's a brother or a sister right there. That's a brother or a sister. Who is that in your life? Better yet, who are you being that to in your life? Because all of us need to be a Jonathan. We all want to be a Jonathan, but also we have to be an armor bearer for someone who says, I got you. I'm going with you. You want to grow in the Lord? I'm going to saddle up next to you. I'm going to walk it with you. I want to do that. Do you remember where Saul is? The passage says that Saul is back at the cave. Back at the cave, sitting there. Look with me if you don't mind. Look at verse 3. Look at verse 3. Verse 3 says this. It's naming out who is with Saul. And verse 3 says, including Ahijah, the son of Ahitub, Ichabod's brother, son of Phinehas, son of Eli, the priest of the Lord in Shiloh, wearing an ephod. It starts with Ahijah. Do you know who Ahijah is? It says that he is the priest of Shiloh. He is the great-grandson of Eli. Do you remember Eli from back at the beginning? Eli was an old man, blind and fat. The Lord had already told him, listen, I'm going to remove the priesthood from you. And the reason I'm removing the priesthood from you is because you're letting your sons, Hophni and Phinehas, who are priests, you're letting them run wild. They're running them up. They're desecrating the temple. They're having sex with the temple servants. They're stealing the sacrifices. They're stealing from the Lord God. And the priesthood is going to be removed from you. Yet, there are still priests here. Ahijah. Here he is. It says that he's the grandson of Atub, who was the uncle to Ichabod. You remember who Ichabod was? Ichabod was the son of Phinehas, and he was the one who was born as Phinehas died. When they learned out that Phinehas died, his dad died, and his name Ichabod means the glory has departed. Saul has 600 people around him, and he's got a priest that he thinks the Lord's going to speak to, but the Lord's already said, no, it's been removed from you. Saul, who has just heard from Samuel, you've disobeyed the Lord. You're the king, not the priest. You offered a sacrifice, and Samuel said, the Lord today has removed the kingdom from you also, because he's looking for a man after God's own heart. Not one after his own desires. Listen, do you see who Saul has around him? You've heard mom, you've heard your grandmom and them, all of them say this. Birds of a feather flock together. Do you realize all they're doing is quoting Proverbs 13:20? The scripture says, he whoever walks with the wise becomes wise. But the companion of fools will suffer harm. Guys, I got to ask you this. Men, I got to ask you this. Ladies, I got to ask you this. Who that when you turn, I'm there with your heart and soul? Who is it that's linking up with you that is committed to you? Who is it that you're committed to? Bold faith makes a commitment. Makes a commitment to the kingdom, makes a commitment to the community. Bold faith makes a commitment to say, God, I'm following you as hard as it gets. Bold faith makes a commitment to say, Lord, I know the kingdom is worth it. I'm going to give my all to it. I'm going to give my home, my family. I'm going to give my finances. The kingdom is worth it all. God, because of what you've done, I've made a commitment to my spouse. I'm in it. I'm in it. I'm not leaving. God, you've given me my children, and though they walk far away, Lord, I'm not turning my back on them. I love them too much. I'm going to continue to pray. I'm going to continue to speak the truth to them. God, I'm in it. I'm committed to them. God, I'm committed. You put me in a church that loves you. I love the community. God, I'm committed to serving the body. God, I'm committed to being generous. God, I'm committed to going. God, I am committed. That takes bold faith. And you know what makes it easier? When you got a brother or sister that says, listen, I'm in it with you too. I'm going with you. I'm going with you. I'm serving. Come join me. I'll walk with you. Listen, I've been sharing my finances. Let me tell you what the Lord's been doing. I'm going on a mission trip. Come go with me. Listen, I'm going to go down here and I'm going to work at the food pantry. I'm going to go work at the Journey Home. Come go with me. That's what brothers and sisters do. That's what bold faith is all about. Bold faith, it does, it commits, and lastly, and I don't have long to talk about it, bold faith inspires. Bold faith inspires. Verses 21 and 22, I'm not going to read it, but if you'll look there, it says now that there were some Hebrews who had joined in with the Philistines. We don't know why. We don't know if they were bondservants. We don't know if they'd been taken captive. We don't know if they were, maybe they were Hebrews who were going, hey, the Philistines, they got the upper hand. We're going to go with them. This could work out for our pocketbook. But the scripture says that when they went up, when David and Jonathan, remember, in fact, look at verse 13. Back up a little bit. Look at verse 13. Verse 13 says that when the Philistines looked and said, hey, won't you come on up here? We're going to show you a thing or two. Verse 13 says, then Jonathan climbed up on his hands and feet because it's a slippery slope. Remember? He climbed up on his hands and feet, and his armor bearer went after him, and they fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer killed them after him. So here they go. They climb up. Jonathan's knocking them down. The armor bearer's killing them. It says that within the first little bit, in this thousands of people around, in a half an acre, 20 people went down. Half an acre went down. 20 people went down in half an acre. It says all of this was going on. Now listen, before you start thinking Rambo and Reacher and all that kind of stuff, that's not what this is. That's not what this is. Look at verse 23 really quick. Verse 23 says, so the Lord saved Israel that day. Listen, Jonathan didn't save Israel. The Lord saved Israel. There's not a man or a woman in here that can save anybody. God's the one that saves us. Listen, thank you for doctors. Thank you for Jonathan's. But it's the Lord saves. It's the Lord heals. It's the Lord that rearranges everything. He uses us. He gives us opportunity to live for him. But it is the Lord who does this. It's the Lord that does that. The scripture goes on to tell us right there after 13 that because of their bold faith, because there was a bold faith man who committed to another man, they got to the top. They start fighting. They're doing their deal for the glory of God. It says that all of a sudden the earth quaked. The Lord shook them, shook the earth. Guys, I'm going to tell you something. Ladies, you think I'm kidding. Men, you think I'm kidding. When you exhibit bold faith and when you stand up and say, I ain't going any further. I'm going to make a stand right here in my neighborhood and my workplace. Did you know that there are men and women who are looking for bold men and women who will stand in their ground and for the glory of God, and it inspires others. You're not doing it so that you would be an inspiration. You're doing it for the glory of God. But the Lord uses your obedience and others go, I'm in. If that brother and that sister's committed, that gets me fired up. Can I tell you, when I see a brother or a sister fired up and ready to go, I'm ready to join in with them. I want to join in with them. People who are half-hearted and they don't really care, it makes me go, I don't really care. But when people are ready to buckle it up and let's do it, I want to get in on that. This is what bold faith does. Bold faith makes a commitment to the kingdom. Bold faith makes a commitment to Christ. Bold faith makes a commitment to the community and to others. And when that happens, others want to go. Can I tell you that there is revival happening in families in this body? You know why? Because someone stood up and began to share their faith. Because somebody stood up and began to speak the truth about the scripture. Because somebody took a step of faith and then it began to spread. I'm using the word inspire, but it's a witness is what it is. And when it becomes a witness, then the Lord begins to use that. It's seeds that are planted. Things begin to happen. Just so I'm clear, it could feel like if I'm not careful, you may end up thinking, Lord, I'm going to be a Jonathan. I got to start buffing up, pumping up, getting ready for the fight. Can I tell you, this ain't about Jonathan. This is not about being like Jonathan. This is about the greater Jonathan, Jesus. Literally, because Jonathan points to Christ. Do you know Christ was the Son? And he didn't go behind the Father's back. He implemented the Father's plan. He's the one that went on a rescue mission for you and me. He did it for the glory of God. He's the one who ascended from the holy mountain, Zion. He ascended and he came to a land that had been broken by sin, a land filled with thorns, thistles. And he walked this earth. In fact, when he walked this earth, he eventually got to the valley of the shadow of death, where he feared no evil. In fact, he confronted it. He lived a perfect life. He not only descended that mountain. He did that because he was committed to the glory of the Father and to you. You know, the scripture tells us that no greater love hath this than a man would lay down his life for his friends. And Jesus laid his life down so that you and I might be able to have life. And when he descended, did you know that he also ascended Mount Calvary with a thorny crown? Pierced his brow. He was laid in a tomb. 3 days later, he arose again. And he ascended back to the Father, where today he is alive and well. Now listen, this ain't about Jonathan. This is about Jesus, because bold faith always places faith in Jesus. Bold faith always says, Jesus, I'm committed to you. I'm willing to step out in your name. Bold faith is all about speaking and inspiring and witnessing to friends and families and neighbors and coworkers, not for your glory, but for the glory of God, for the glory of the Father. So today, you know what I call you to? I call you to bold faith. If you're not a follower of Christ, can I tell you, you don't have to work up anything, because the Holy Spirit, the Bible tells us, will put bold faith into you. And when he puts bold faith into you, then we step out in bold faith and we respond to him and say, hey, listen, Jesus changed me. I'm not sure how to explain it, but he's changed me. And I want to follow him. I want to step out. I want to speak. I want to learn. I want to grow. Men in this room, if you're looking for that kind of faith, excuse me, if you're looking for that kind of friend, I'd invite you to our men's ministry. We have Bible studies, we have groups where you will be discipled, where you will be walked with, where men will pray with you and they will battle for you and with you for the glory of God. Ladies in this room, Josie talked about just a moment ago, every Monday night, I think it starts in 2 weeks, I want to say the 24th, somewhere around there, women's Bible study starting back up. On Monday night, on Tuesday night, the men are here, and there's groups all over. But on Monday night, the ladies are here, 50 ladies, 60 ladies, studying the Word. We have groups during the week. That retreat, men, sign your wives up. Pay it and say, listen, I want you to end. Some of you may go, I can't go. I cannot go. I'm literally out. Can I tell you, we have single women in this room who are moms who cannot afford to get away. You say, listen, I'll pay for somebody to go. I'll keep your kids so they can go. Listen, these areas, this is where friendships are forged, where we become Jonathans and armor bearers one to another. Today, I'm asking you, would you come to Christ boldly? Let's pray together. Jesus, I love you and I thank you. I bless your name for who you are. Jesus, I'm so thankful for the opportunity that you give us to have faith. I'm thankful for the gift of faith. And I'm thankful that you call us to respond to you in faith. I'm asking that you would strengthen us, that you would embolden us. I'm asking that you would bring brothers and sisters to the body for us, alongside us. I'm thankful for this one who was baptized today. And I'm asking, Father, would you continue your work in this church? I'm thankful for our people, your people. And I would ask that today, would you open blind eyes so that they might see spiritually. I'm asking today, would you move people from spiritual death to spiritual life? And would you give people boldness today, those that you call, would you give them boldness to step out? We love you, we honor you, and it is in the name of Jesus that we ask these things today.